I'm Alicia Stevens. I'm the co-coordinator of the Heritage, Memory, and Identity Pillar for this exciting MIT Comparative Global Humanities Initiative. I also represent the Cambridge Heritage Research Center at the University of Cambridge, even though I'm a New Yorker. And I wanted to just give a shout out to my pillar co-coordinator who couldn't be here today. She's my former supervisor from Cambridge, Dacia Viejo-Rose. I think she's on the OWL, I hope. Any case, today I'm going to talk about how art and culture have become an unlikely force at the World Economic Forum. So, every year, am I advancing here? Uh-oh. Sorry, everyone, just one sec. Is it on the...
Let's take a look.
Many buttons. Ah, this which one was it?
This arrow dot?
Yes, got it, perfect. Thanks, Tristan. So every year, world leaders and CEOs gather in the small ski village of Davos, Switzerland, to attend the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum. And the forum's mission reads this way. The World Economic Forum is the international organization for public-private cooperation. It provides a global, impartial, maybe, and not-for-profit platform for meaningful connection between stakeholders to establish trust and build initiatives for cooperation and progress. Oopsie, sorry. The forum attracts a who's who of powerful attendees, but it also attracts criticism and sometimes public protests for its allegedly elitist nature. The NGO Fight Inequality, for example, describes the annual meeting like this. During the World Economic Forum, the top 1% make deals and discuss topics that affect all of us. The world's political and economic elite gather to tackle issues such as poverty and inequality, despite being part of the problem, as well as the biggest beneficiaries of such problems. It's a place where narratives that shape our conversations and our economies are set. So it is a conversation we need to disrupt. Interestingly, whoops, I keep doing that, excuse me, everybody. Interestingly, a group of change-making artists and cultural professionals have been disrupting the World Economic Forum for more than 15 years now. And I had the good fortune, just so you understand my role in this, before my academic career, I spent quite a number of years in museum and university administrations doing educational programming. And the two people on the top left here were my collaborators in the project I'm about to describe. In 2007, these artists here all met at the annual meeting at Davos, and they've been collaborating with the World Economic Forum ever since to shine a light on the unique contributions of artists and humanists in innovating solutions to global crises. Qualities such as compassionate listening, critical thinking, improvisation skills, and ideas and solutions that are grounded in deep historical context. So on your left is Dr. Carol Becker, the former dean of the School of the Arts at Columbia University. Next to her is Gilbert Probst, Dr. Gilbert Probst, former dean of the Forum's Global Leadership Fellows, which I'll talk about in a moment. Photographer and visual artist Plentin Antoniou, in the KEDS, famous for his portraits of world leaders. And then at the far end over there, it's Dr. Paola Antonelli, senior curator at the MoMA in New York. And finally at the bottom is Hilde Schwab, wife of World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab. So rather than staging protests, these artists approached the World Economic Forum in a spirit of engagement, aspiring to spark positive change from within the organization. The collaboration began with a summer leadership program at Columbia University, which I'll talk about, and over time resulted in the introduction of a robust suite of cultural programs at the annual meeting at Davos, including keynote interviews with world-leading artists, musicians, writers, and scholars, panel discussions, exhibitions, and experiential art installations. And these programs, which I'll present in a moment, are still going strong today in 2024. So first, I want to turn to how this all began, not at Davos, but at Columbia University, where I was serving under Dean Carol Becker from the previous slide. When she came back from the annual meeting in 2007, we were struck by how art and culture had so little presence at this really influential global conference. We were also, however, encouraged very much by a variety of progressive programs at the forum that never seemed to get much press. And these were programs tackling social issues about social injustice, global inequality, inclusive cities, and even the loneliness pandemic. So sensing the opportunity to bring the humanities and business into closer collaboration, in 2008, we spearheaded a highly successful partnership between Columbia University School of the Arts and the World Economic Forum. The partnership began with the WEF's Global Leadership Fellows. This is a master's program that the World Economic Forum very shrewdly has, where the students actually, they train and are educated in the summers, and then they are free staff to run the programming and the logistics of the annual meeting during the year. So they study in the summers, they studied with the summers with us, and we worked also with the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania to create an intensive leadership training module for these fellows. It ran for 9 years, and we examined the role of the arts and artists in leadership and social justice. The training program helped these future leaders develop presence and confidence through theater study, while also confronting socioeconomic and environmental issues from the vantage point and with the empathy and nuance of artists and humanists. The workshop included methodologies like Augusto Boal's Theater of the Oppressed, training in improvisation from our jazz faculty at Columbia, classes in clowning and Shakespeare, filmmaking and creative writing workshops, and deep engagement with the Harlem-based youth performing arts group Impact. The program was hugely well received by the fellows for the decade that we ran it at Columbia, and it was reviewed favorably in both the New York Times and New Yorker magazine. And just a quick aside, this is filmmaker Jamal Joseph, who is a former Black Panther, and wrote a book that was turned into a movie about that. Because the graduate World Economic Fellows who studied with us in the summers were also doing the programming at Davos in the winters, they eventually invited us to program leadership sessions at the annual meeting. And they also appointed Dean Becker to their arts advisory role, sort of inadvertently assuring that the arts and culture remained a force at the World Economic Forum. This is Dean Becker in the picture here interviewing American conductor Maren Alsop. And she describes the evolution of artists and humanists at the World Economic Forum this way. Carol Becker says, "We saw a shift at Davos from artists being peripheral attendees to becoming essential participants in discussions about social issues like climate change, immigration, and economic inequality." So in just the last 15 years, arts and culture programming has truly exploded at the annual meeting. Yet, you don't really read about this much in the news when you see things about Davos, and that's a source of constant frustration for us. The next few slides share just a few of the highlights of arts programming for the last 10 years. I'll also mention that this part of the talk draws heavily on an article that Dean Becker wrote called How Art Became a Force at Davos. So in 2016, this is a depiction of visual artist Olaf Eliasson, where he presented his Little Sun project at the annual meeting. And Little Sun is a magical little solar-powered light that you see here, designed to replace fossil fuel lighting in rural communities that are off the electrical grid, or places that just don't have access to sustainable energy sources. And these little lights are beautiful design objects that have become very popular in the US and Europe and the UK, and those sales are offsetting the costs of free distribution to communities in need all over the world. Also in 2016, the annual meeting at Davos featured the virtual reality film Collisions, which is about the British atomic bomb testing in Australia in the 1950s and 60s. The VR format allowed viewers to experience the atomic tests from the perspective of Indigenous Australian elder Nyari Morgan, creating a deeply personal and impactful connection to the devastating effects of nuclear weapons testing. The film led to increased calls for government accountability in and around discourse in Australia around nuclear testing. And in 2018, the Smithsonian Institution sponsored the exhibition Masterworks at Davos that featured international artisans and makers with an experiential component for Davos attendees, which created a really stark contrast to the many high-tech expositions that people usually take part in at the annual meeting. It also reminded us of the human element in a world increasingly dominated by technology. The Makers Workshop set up workbenches and potter's wheels for attendees to tinker with, led by a team of master artisans, artists, and designers from across the world, including the Middle East, Europe, Myanmar, and Afghanistan. In 2019, the Smithsonian's Cooper Hewitt Museum hosted an exhibition called Access and Ability, which showcased a wide range of innovative designs and technologies created to improve life for people with disabilities, providing them with beautiful functional objects to wear and use, such as the magnetic clothing shown on the right there. The exhibition also recast people with disabilities as supernormal and underscored the importance, and this is very important, underscored the importance of involving these end users throughout the conception and design phases to optimize the usefulness of the artistic and engineering innovations. And finally, in 2017, and not finally, these programs are continuing today to 2024. I'm just covering these because these are the ones that we were remotely involved with. In 2017, in an act of courage and defiance, 40 members of the Afghan Women's Orchestra Zohra left Afghanistan and traveled to Davos to perform the closing plenary session. And there was not a dry eye in the room. I've heard reports. I was not there. Formed in 2016, the all-male female orchestra features musicians from the Afghanistan National Institute of Musicians, between the ages of 13 and 20. And in 2021, the entire ensemble was airlifted out of Afghanistan, and they've all been living in exile in Doha ever since. And Smithsonian also facilitated that exit. So overall, the incorporation of arts and culture at the annual meeting, and most importantly, the inclusion of artists and humanists at closed invitation-only sessions talking about innovative solutions to global crises, this all appears to be lasting and indelible within the forum. They're very committed to the arts and culture track. Today, there's a formal arts and culture track that is overseen by a permanent World Economic Forum head of arts and culture. There's also a board of arts and culture advisors, and cellist Yo-Yo Ma was recently invited to join the main board of directors of the forum. And I'll read this to you in case you can't see it. On the WEF's main website, underscoring its commitment to arts and culture programming, the following text appears. The arts have a significant role to play in helping address global issues and, as such, need to be central when thinking about how people connect to one another, to communities, to people from other places, and to the past, present, and the future. The arts are essential in helping people understand, negotiate, and navigate their way through the challenges of the modern world, as well as to explore what divides people in a way that fosters understanding and cooperation. So the aspiration of this brief talk is that the annual meeting's incorporation of artists and humanists at Davos will serve as a model for our corporate and political institutions to integrate the arts and humanities broadly into their approaches to corporate social responsibility. Unfortunately, I reached out to Carol Becker when I was going to give this talk, thinking that, of course, Davos being Davos, there'd be great tracking on how effective this arts and culture track has been. But unfortunately, there's been zero tracking. Maybe perhaps they'll start doing that now, because it would be really nice to understand if this template is something that is scalable to the many influential organizations and representatives who visit Davos every year. Despite the lack of tracking, the annual meeting at Davos has shown itself to be an early adopter, well, or maybe very, very late adopter, of the powerful idea that art connects cultures and fosters empathy. They've recognized the unique problem-solving skill set that we humanists provide, and they've given artists and humanists seats at their powerful tables. Hopefully, the corporate and political industrial complex that attends each year will feel the positive impact and incorporate artists into their own collaborator groups in the future. Thank you.